results last night. We'll do that at the end of the chat. But let's talk first of all about what's going on in Washington this week.
Well, it's really a light week on the floor of the House, Scott, because we were on the Easter recess, and it was nice to be back home in our district for the last 2 weeks. I will say there's a lot going on off the floor of the House. I have a military construction committee meeting today where I've got all of the top non-commissioned officers of our services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, talking about the challenges of families during this time of war, and our subcommittee works a lot on those quality of life issues. I'm also meeting with Secretary John McHugh, the Secretary of the Army, later today to talk about key Army issues. And last week we had a good visit. I brought the Undersecretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Tara O'Toole, down to A&M to meet with the Dean of Agriculture and Engineering and Health Sciences Center President Nancy Dickey and others. A&M, a lot of people may not know this, but A&M is really playing a very, very important role in Homeland Security, and we want to continue and expand that role. And I think the nuclear summit in Washington this week is a great opportunity for the largest nuclear engineering program in the country, Texas A&M's, right in College Station, to allow us to play a key role in making our world safer and our country safer from the threat of nuclear terrorism.
You know, you mentioned the Health Science Center, and part of that has to do with research that I guess is designed for any bioterrorism type of an incident that could happen any place in the world.
That's correct, and A&M is just playing a vital role there. And the new manufacturing center that's being funded by the Department of Defense, so with a $40 million grant, is going to be able to knock out as many as 10 million vaccines a month in order to protect Americans from things such as the swine flu or biological attacks. So it's really exciting to see A&M playing such a vanguard role in protecting our country from terrorists abroad.
Yeah, and one of the neat things about that facility, too, while it can do the massive numbers of vaccines, if it ends up being something that has to be very specific and done in small doses, if there happens to be an outbreak in some part of the world that we never hear about, they can get it done quickly, they can turn on a dime here, and they can get that stuff over to the people who will need it. And that's pretty cutting-edge stuff.
It really is, and ultimately it's going to save an awful lot of lives in our country and around the world with the work they're doing there.
Now, also, there was an EDA grant that is going to impact Bryan, because we have some new areas where we're trying to bring in businesses that will help broaden the tax base here.
Well, everywhere I go throughout our district, Scott, people say we've got to keep focusing on economic development and jobs. And this EDA grant is something very exciting. The city of Bryan, we worked with them, the Brazos Valley Research Partnership and Brazos County. It will be a new generation industrial park to attract light manufacturing, such as manufacturing for energy savings devices and equipment, and ties us into the Port of Houston for foreign exports for these kinds of products. So this is the kind of industrial park that can create the good-paying jobs that a community needs, and the more manufacturing industrial jobs we have, the more pressure you can take off of property taxpayers. So it's a win-win situation. It was a great team effort.
Chad Edwards joining us today. Tell us a little bit about you out in the district for a week and a half. Let me hear what you heard from the people out there generally as far as concerns. And, of course, this is the first time you've been home since the health care plan was passed.
Well, the most common thing I heard was thank you from people who said thanks for listening to us and voting against the health care reform bill. I think it's clear my vote reflected the views of the vast majority of people in our district who felt, even if they felt we needed health care reform, they thought this bill, as I did, was too expansive and particularly too expensive given the huge federal deficits that we have today. There's still an awful lot of concern about the economy. People are starting to see some positive signs in real estate and retail sales and other areas, and it's good to see a turnaround from some of the horrible economic numbers we were seeing 2 years ago. The stock market's up 77%. In the last year, and that's good news. But I still know there's a lot of concern, still people out of work. There are a lot of people who have jobs that are concerned about their jobs. So I think people were saying, let's stay focused on economic development and job growth in our district and in our country.
Chad Edwards joining us this morning. We had a job fair, in fact, at Post Oak Mall yesterday, long line, sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, which tells you even an area here where we are somewhat isolated from the problems that they're having widespread, we still have people who are concerned about being able to get jobs who are out of work right now. Let's talk for a minute about that, the whole housing situation, if you will, because once again, we're still lagging behind. There's still going to be some variable rate mortgages that haven't changed yet. More people are going to be put out into the street. Do you feel like the government is being responsive to the point that they should be to keep people in the homes that they have?
Well, we've taken some positive steps, and realtors tell me and home builders have told me that it's made a real difference to have the Recovery Act program where people can get initially $8,000 and now $6,500 tax credit if they purchase a new home. That has really begun to help turn around the depression we've had in real estate in many parts of our country, and it's been slow and even in our district as well as we've done compared to other parts of the country. I'm not sure we've solved yet the problem of foreclosure, Scott. I think we're paying the price for bad policies where people making $40,000 a year were buying, $700,000 homes, and mortgage brokers were setting low standards and offering anybody a loan whether they could afford it or not. We have got to work through that somehow. It's been estimated that if one house forecloses in a neighborhood, it drops the value of every home in that neighborhood by 7%. So I don't think we've done enough to figure out how to address the still serious problem of large number of foreclosures out there.
And finally, while Texas is in better case situation than a lot of states out there, as the Texas House and Texas Senate members are having committee meetings in preparation for going into session, a lot of talk about tapping the rainy day fund, having a big deficit that they'll be confronted with. Obviously, federal money helped balance that budget 2 years ago. Do you see that there is federal money that's going to be available if Austin needs help?
I don't see the kind of support that Texas got from the American Recovery Act last year. The legislature received $16 billion, and some of the most conservative members in Austin told me that if it had not been for that funding, there would have been massive cuts in higher education. School teachers would not have received an $800 pay raise, and transportation and law enforcement programs would have been cut dramatically as well. Given the federal deficits, I just don't see that same kind of help coming from Washington. And fortunately, with the help the Texas legislature received last time, they were able to protect the rainy day fund, and that might help them get through this tough time.
Finally, the Republican primary finished last night. Your opponent is set. Bill Flores will be your opponent. I'd like to get your view on the outcome of that race.
Well, I congratulate Mr. Flores on his nomination. I'm going to keep working as a champion of veterans and military troops at a time of war, and we're going to emphasize that I've worked effectively on a bipartisan basis for jobs and economic development for our district, and the EDA grant and Brian and the work with the Homeland Security programs at A&M are two examples of where a member of Congress can impact literally hundreds and hundreds of jobs in Brazos Valley. I still think there are a lot of voters out there that don't vote in primaries that don't know Mr. Flores. As late as 4 months ago in December was an executive of a Houston oil company, and that he has never cast a single ballot in a general election in our district. So I look forward to the campaign ahead. It's going to be a lively one, and I'm ready, and we're organized. We have $1.7 million in the bank, and a lot of support from Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, which I always have had. And we will be working hard in the months ahead, even though my primary focus will continue to be on doing my job representing our district.
In this race, it's always been an us against them. Brazos County, those people down there. McLennan County, those people up there. The Flores campaign apparently was able to tap into a voter base in McLennan County, which was Rob Kernock's home county. So your thoughts on his being able to draw votes in McLennan County so well?
Well, the fact is that Mr. Flores received 21,000 votes last night, and let's put that in proper perspective. In the last general election, I received 125,000 votes, 104,000 votes more than Mr. Flores received last night. these general elections are completely different from a primary. The general elections in our district are determined by independent voters and ticket splitters that don't go out and vote in the primary. I think the bottom line is people saw this. Rob Kernock ran a really weak campaign, and he was mired in two controversies in the last couple of weeks, not paying his homestead exemption and being sued by his former campaign manager for non-payment of services. And he was out, Kernock was outspent by 7-1. So it's really a new campaign today, a completely different campaign from a primary. And I think some of the bitter negative things that were said between Mr. Flores and Mr. Kernock over the last 3 weeks actually will help me as we begin the effort to win independent voters in the months ahead.
Well, we'll watch that with interest, of course, and we'll have you two together here on our radio station. Thanks again for the time. We talked to Chet Edwards on Wednesdays, most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear all of our comments on our website later today at WTAW.com.